This week on RSBNB Update, the bank rework is here and we're banking 1,000. Placeholders, presets, tab customizations, filters, and so much more. We're just going to call it the bank rework despite its official name. Also this week, we have thoughts on one special day and the future of microtransactions. This is RSBNB Update, episode 744, recorded Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. Save me a place. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. It is, of course, RuneFest Eve. Everybody's getting ready for the big event, and, you know, we are going to have our own special coverage of that, and we'll talk about that just a bit later on the podcast. But we do have, of course, perhaps the second or maybe the first most anticipated update in forever here this week, gracing us this past Monday. And, you know, Tanis, you're here as per usual to talk about it with us.
Been waiting on this one.
But also joining us is one of our longtime friends and former writer, Zant. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. I can finally play RuneScape again now.
Yeah,
out.
And you know, I thought we need to have someone on the show. And, you know, I seen you playing this week, so I thought let's ask him if he wants to join in. And lo and behold, yeah, you said how many hours this week have you spent organizing your bank?
Oh, let's see. Three last night, I think two the day it came out, so five total. Probably another two tonight, so yeah, it's just taking a bank that I've had for 12 years and actually organizing it. So it's finally nice to be able to do that and have placeholders and have an armor tab that's not a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I have a question. What is more anticipated, this or the mining and smithing rework?
This.
See, I would have went the other way, but that—I mean, just me personally, I was anticipating that one more.
Okay,
but this is but it's hard to compare it, man. I mean, we haven't. This is a change. This is an update. It's like seeing a rainbow. Like there's just been this drought, and we're wandering to the desert. And is that a hallucination? No, it's real. That's actual water. It's water, man. We got an update.
Yeah,
and a real one.
They ship this as bank placeholders and improvements, and quite honestly, I think they should have billed it as the bank rework.
They probably should have.
Yeah,
because if you go back in time and you look at the RuneScape wiki for bank rework, the bank rework was initially supposed to include things like metadata searching. It was going to include having all your Diango and player-owned house items in your bank, though they did that with a little separate update on the side. It was also going to have placeholders. It was going to have infinite tabs. It was going to have the resizable interface, which we got. And I forget what other features it was going to have. But, I mean, when you split it out that much, what we got is effectively enough, in my opinion, to be a bank rework.
And how much of that is just reflected in placeholders just themselves?
Right.
All of it, dude. All of it.
Literally.
And I think if you ask anybody out there, what is the bank rework to you? It's placeholders.
But Shane, what did I say? If I said it once, I said it a million times last year. Like, because week after week, they would come out with a new something to do with the bank or this or that. And we kept talking about how things are being changed where maybe they weren't going to have to redo such a big bank rework. And I kept saying, all we need is placeholders. Give people placeholders. That is a bank rework to them. Everyone isn't thinking about all this other stuff.
And they confirmed that in the live stream. It's that, you know, people thought, oh, maybe they could pull the same thing for the smithing and mining rework, but at the end of the day, they wound up going the full path on that because that's what the players wanted. But here, placeholders and the general improvements was just enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes sense. I don't think you can rework a skill from the ground up the way that they envisioned doing it from just the end, you know, just a high level aspect of it. Like, if you're changing that much, you have to change everything.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice.
So the original rework, I just went to the depths of, the RuneScape Wiki actually archived this. The original rework was to include placeholders, new organization and sorting options, i.e. filters, we got those, unlimited bank tabs, better searching via meta tagging, updated presets, Django, shuffling and bank options, we got that as well, customizable cosmetic effects and technical improvements. So we got most of this.
I was going to say, so there's two things we didn't get.
The metadata searching and the Django items directly in the bank, though we do have
that. No, we got that.
No,
yeah, we have that.
But it's not in the bank. It's a separate modal window that opens up that you click.
Yeah, but you don't need to
do
Django.
You can do it from your bank. I mean, every person, it's in the bank, man.
Right, but technically it's not in your bank.
But technically...
It's in the bank, as far as we're concerned.
Okay, so you guys are saying that's enough then to say that, you know, this is the bank rework. So which ones, in your view, did we not get then?
Well, we didn't get the meta or the unlimited tabs.
Right. But
what about
that's the only two.
Okay.
I thought the sorting feature was originally supposed to be something where it could literally, like, organize a single tab for you instead of kind of like the filters we got now. It's a little different.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good with these filters, though.
The original automatic sorting was to sort a tab based on the level required to make, where, use, sorting by GE values, sorting by quantity,
That would have been pretty nice to have. Or just some way to automatically organize a tab, you know? Because that's half the battle when organizing a bank, is figuring out what you want your layout to be.
But we're RuneScape players.
I know.
This is an update for OCD people by OCD people. And so you could give us all the sorting automatic features that you wanted. We would still be sitting there going, yeah, but I really want this. It's been the same amount of time. It'd just be tweaking all over the place. Like, no, I don't know. I want this here.
I become horribly unproductive with things when stuff that I have to work with is unorganized. So having a RuneScape bank, especially once they added presets, that gets messed up constantly, that's probably one of the biggest reasons it was really difficult for me to actually continually play this game once they released presets.
There you go.
And now that's fixed.
I haven't organized my bank since they announced that this might happen someday.
I've tried years at this point.
Yeah, I just gave up. I'm just like, I'm going to wait till it happens, because I was already searching for everything anyway. So,
I remember I used to buy two of each skill cape for a placeholder.
I missed them all in my house.
And
there were a few obscure items. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There were a few more obscure items I remember back in the days that people would try to get placeholders for in their bank. And one of them, for example, was, I don't remember why you needed this as a placeholder, but the sword you get from the Knight's Sword quest, you could do that little drop trick for it. Yeah. And for some reason, people wanted a placeholder for that, I remember at one point, between me and a couple friends. And that it's like, there's things like that you had to jump through hoops to even get a placeholder for.
Yeah. Yeah. So placeholders, it's exactly as we talked about in the beta. You can right click any item and choose withdraw placeholder, and it will just pull out a placeholder of that item. You can also make it so that down below you can press the cake button, and anytime you withdraw an item or withdraw everything in that stack, it will just leave placeholders in its place. And
I still don't get the cake.
Yeah.
What else would they put, though?
Exactly. Like, I mean,
to me, that's kind of like, it's kind of similar to how the program 3DS Max, like, their kind of meme is like a teapot. Like, when they have random things they need to just put an asset in for, they use a teapot. It's like,
right. And you think, what is the quintessential item? It's probably cake. So,
exactly.
So, and
it makes sense.
It is faded out a bit, so you can see that with the zero there, so it makes sense. And anytime when you withdraw one of your presets as well, it will withdraw the items in there as placeholders, even if they weren't set as placeholders before. So you can be very pleased that you can just dump everything back in your bank after that farming run, and everything will go back to exactly where you wanted it to go. So placeholders on their own are pretty good, I think. And, you know, I don't know that there's really much to say else about the placeholders, because, I mean, they're intuitive to use. You either right-click withdraw placeholder, or you enable the option to always have items withdrawn as placeholders. And, you know, it's really up to you which you prefer. And I think if you're in an organization phase, you'll probably want everything done as placeholders, because when you withdraw that, you're going to want to, you know, be moving things around. Then you can actually move the placeholders around and move the placeholders to different tabs as well. So,
oh, that's cool. I didn't even try that yet.
One other neat little feature they added with it is they actually added a filter placeholders. So if you need to just like clear out old ones you don't use, you can see all of them. And that's nice.
That's cool. Yeah,
I don't have any placeholders set right now because I don't have any items that are currently withdrawn from any of my presets. But other filters include the cleanup option, items that can go in May's quest caravan if you're not using them, Diango skilling outfits and equipment. And, you know, I actually discovered this not too long ago, that if you are in this cleanup mode and you click on one of the items that you want to get rid of, you can just click it and it will be given a destroy option.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
So I've got only the skilling outfits that I use, my bubble blower, and my garden hoe in my bank still.
I can't believe you keep your hoe in your bank.
Oh, please, not this again.
I have way too many random things in my bank that should probably be destroyed, but I don't know, sometimes I randomly want to equip something just because it looks cool.
Yeah.
See, and I was like that with quest items because I was always afraid that there's going to be a quest to come out and I have to go back and get... Like, because I remember having to get Glorious Pebble like 4 times for some reason. So I used to have like this huge quest tab.
I still have a quest tab that includes things like the lockpick, the sled from that Fremenic quest.
Well, I still have that, but it will take you. It'll take your bank over eventually.
Oh yeah,
so many of them.
My monkey grigries.
Especially if you don't destroy all the random like scrolls and stuff you get like while you're progressing through quests.
Yeah.
It's like I never know whether to decide if it's important enough to keep or not.
Oh, I get rid of those. I get rid of those. Dominion Tower stuff is in here as well as some items that are used in the lower level clue scrolls that I haven't built the hidey holes yet for. So this tab will eventually shrink itself down to a point where it becomes usable. Next up, I think we can talk about the presets because, you know, we looked at these last week and, you know, when the first beta came out, and we did say that there were some of the icons missing, and they did add icons to live to signify if your preset is set to withdraw to your inventory, your worn items, or your beast of burden. So that's all set there now with appropriate icons as well as checkboxes that you can just turn it on and turn it off if you want to have that withdrawn. So I mean, it's as simple as a click as a mouse, and you don't need to save the preset. All the preset names are there in a drop-down. There's an overwrite button. And you know, I still find this a bit odd, is that the exact matching is there, and it's not necessarily made clear that it only works for invention-based items.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. There's also buttons to load the selected backpack from the preset, load the worn items from the selected preset, or load the beast of burden from the selected preset. So I guess for some reason, if you had a bossing preset and it was set to have your beast of burden filled with rocktail and you just wanted to load your beast of burden, you could just go to that preset and load that up straight away.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Another thing is that you can drag and drop from your backpack directly to a preset if you want to edit your preset, so you don't need to equip it and save it.
Really?
Yeah.
That is honestly probably one of the best parts about the preset improvements. Before, you had to actually like withdraw the preset and set it up, then resave it, I believe, right?
Yeah. Now you can just wear it, or you can even draw it around. So, I mean, if I want to edit one of these presets to include, say... let's just say this Dragonfire Deflector. I still have one of those, yeah? So if I put that in my backpack and I go to my presets, you can choose a preset and then just drag it to that shield slot, and then bam, it'll be right there. and you've just edited the preset.
Nice.
Simple, simple, simple. Let's see, what else can we talk about with this? Presets, bank tabs? Bank tabs, anyone? You can have up to 15 now?
I need a few more. Need a few more.
I don't need a few more.
I'm having trouble. I've only used 11, and I think that's enough for me.
I mean, I can double up some skills, but some skills I like to have their own tabs.
Oh, okay.
And because, like, I want to, you know, like, Herblore needs its own tab. Summoning needs its own tab. Farming needs its own tab.
Yeah. So what I've done is my top section of the bank is my GP, my rare items, my skill capes, my teleports, and whatever we call things that I'm currently actively working on. And yes, that includes I still need to get the Heffin and the Cruis symbol pieces from Prif so I can build that symbol thing all these years after Prif was released. So those I never got those and all the thieving I did.
Yeah, I still don't have that either. And I've been doing quite a lot of thieving there.
I'm not
big
sure.
Big fan of agility, Ashay.
No, I'm not doing agility, just thieving with it.
Oh.
Because they can come from thieving as well.
I actually didn't know you could get those from agility.
You can.
Yeah, you get.
I've never done Heffin. I hate agility.
Oh, it's so much. Well, you'll hate it a little bit less. Like
that's the skill agility. I dump all my Solomon, not Solomon, all the treasure hunter stuff into.
Oh, yeah. Feathers, baby. Feathers. Yeah. All the way. I'm walking on a cloud on this game.
Get those oddments.
Tab 2 is my combat gear, which includes all combat types. Tab 3 is my fletching and woodcutting tab, which includes arrows, wood products, and planks, and fire-making products. Tab 4 is anything magic and runecrafting related. Tab 5 is summoning and divination and crafting. Tab 6 is fishing and cooking. Tab 7 is all Herblore. Tab 8 is all farming. Tab 9 is the miscellaneous quest items tab that will shrink over time. Tab 10 is for the Ark.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably have one of those at some point.
And tab 11 is all my microtransaction-based items like proteins and whatnot that I've left over.
That's a really good idea to have a tab for that. Wow. Because mine's just kind of grouped in with all the other skilling stuff I have, and it's kind of a mess.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. See, I had to separate my combat styles out because I used to keep it all in one, and it just so much crap.
Well, you might be able to split it back into one with the way presets work now.
Yeah, that's essentially what I've done. Yeah, I've got columns with relevant combat styles in them. And as long as I keep my bank the same dimensions, everything will stay perfectly organized.
You can also.
I haven't messed with making it wider because I didn't want to.
You don't want to change the way it's organized.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I was sure to commit to before I started organizing.
A set size?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You can also right click the infinity icon and change tabs so they go up and down.
Really?
If you want that. Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't know this. That's incredible.
And I think we should, you know, just now that you mentioned it, mention that you can make the bank window however large that you want. I'm recording this at effectively 2560 by 1440, though you guys are seeing a smaller version of it. And right now I just made it so my bank takes up the entire screen.
Very nice.
And I don't know if any of you guys remember, but back in the day, people used to do bank pictures, right? Now you can just get it all in one screenshot.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I think this is our greatest dreams realized here with this update, probably.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's the update and there's what this update has done just to start to right the ship. I mean, and I think we would be remiss not to like say this update was good and it is exactly what they needed going into RuneFest to kind of, you know, switch, start switching stuff around, right the ship, and get everyone on board.
I know there was that talk about that, maybe we should have that microtransaction, quote-unquote, statement that people want, but I don't think you even need that going into RuneFest, and they didn't do that because that will distract from what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, look, there doesn't have to be a rush on that unless they were to come out with another just stupid OP promotion. If you can resist the temptation of doing that, then take your time, draft a statement that will generate goodwill with the community, and then we can move on.
Right. And remember, you're wanting to please a majority, not, some vocal minority too on that.
Well, I'm just saying, they could probably fundamentally change Treasure Hunter and not lose much monetary value. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think it could be redesigned in a better, healthier way for people.
Yeah. But back
and
to
I'm willing to wait for that.
Yeah, back to the bank, though. Also, for people using NXT Client, which I think is 95% of people now, the items will be automatically loaded when you open up, so you can scroll, and there won't be any of that popping in or shuffling that the bank used to do.
I seriously underestimated how nice that was going to be, but it's clean.
Yeah, it's really, really important on that.
And nothing disappeared. Nothing went away. I heard no horror stories. you know what I'm saying, though? I mean, because we had a couple of weeks of that, too.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah.
This
and
they update did take really a, helped.
They did take a full backup before this. And, it took a while to get the servers back online after that, a little bit longer than normal. But
totally
I think it was
worth it.
Yeah, definitely
totally
worth it for something like this. You don't want to be playing with things when you're messing with people's banks.
And I think the question is, why don't they do this for all the updates? Like, I'm sure people won't mind being offline for 15 minutes.
I don't mind. If that is the worst part of your day, brother, I mean, I'm just saying.
You got other things to worry about then.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's dive into some of the deeper changes they made that they actually put in the patch notes this week. They've optimized the following parts of the bank, including withdrawing items, withdrawing to external storage like the Beast of Burden. The specific proc used for the Clan Cloak, Vex, and Herald Cape has now been moved into the core wear prevention check. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. Reordered the bank check for invention items to save server load. Removed a check that queued up combat stats on bank withdrawing, which wasn't needed. And, that's something else we can also mention with this one, is that, if you equip some combat-based items and you equip, say, a combat preset. Do I have one of those? No, I don't have a combat preset set. But if you equip some of your items in-game, like let's just say we equip my scythe, for example, you can go there to the equipment, the worn equipment pane, and you can see those stats in the bank now, the full combat stats.
Okay.
Directly in the bank, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that would be a default if I give it enough room. If I give the screen enough room. And no, it's not. But so I forgot to mention that combat stats and whatnot are all there. And you don't have any of that weird stuff where you need to click that worn equipment button and then half the bank slides down and then you're equipping directly to that. You just click your worn equipment and then you can just start equipping things directly from your bank by clicking on them. And it is really nice once again to have that compared to how it was before. So I think that's the way it always should have been on that. So
I still think the worn equipment stats pop-up is in a slightly strange position, at least on my bank. It kind of covers up some of the items.
Mine's in the bottom right of the bank.
Yeah, that's a minus two. Okay. But it covers up some of the items in the actual bank. Like, I don't know. I feel like they could put that floating on the side or something. But if you can resize, makes sense, why not?
Yeah, and it's larger than the actual worn equipment and inventory tab there. So I think that is probably why in that regard.
So, yeah, I can't even think of any way to improve it. So that's why, yeah.
Oh, and I did also forget to mention that there are new buttons for Withdraw X. So if you want to, you know, do Herb Lore with your mouse
buttons. Oh, my gosh, yes.
So you That's enter so good in 14. You just click each vial and each herb, and then away you go. And, you know, people underestimate why this is useful. And it's useful because for the mobile client, people don't have a mouse, and they can't necessarily right-click Withdraw X or always load a preset easily, whereas on mobile it's just going to be a lot easier to tap. So that's why that's a
just
good
a little tappy
for mobile.
Just a little tap.
Yeah,
it's also just really nice with the existence of combination potions, because it used to be with Herbalore, it was basically withdraw 14, but combination potions really change that. So you need a whole bunch of different numbers of different each potion when you're making different things now.
That's right, for combination potions that also gets good, because, you know, previously with that you would all just use a preset.
Yeah, exactly. And now I feel like I can do Herblore without wasting a preset.
So nice.
Yeah, so many nice little things like that.
Continuing on with this, bank size has now been moved into temporary player variables, allowing them to save server load when you load up the bank each time. I don't know why they'd put that on the server. That's a bit odd, but okay. Significantly optimize the check for grabbing bank tab data, optimize deposit scripts, centralize the bank checks for the ore box, as well as additional items that use the bank. See, I think we're missing something on that, because the ore box has to be tied into that metal bank and has to be tied into the actual bank itself. Which, I mean, that's beyond the scope of what we're here to talk about, but that goes back to mining and smithing.
Yep. And all the times that we said we're doing other things to create more space.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than giving it to us through the bank.
And, you know,
I do think I would still appreciate if we could maybe see the ore bank, like, when we're actually in the bank, kind of like a Diango thing like we have now. Like a button at the bottom. That would just be kind of nice.
So you know what you had.
Yeah, exactly. Because actually, that was something that kind of tripped me up when I organized my bank. I was like, wait, where are my ores? Oh, yeah, mining smithing rework. Right. They're in the ore bank.
I'm trying to think if there's other areas that do the same thing as kind of like an ore
bank.
Because if that's the case, you would need to rope those in too.
I think, what is it? The smithing place in Falador uses something similar with the ingots.
The artisan's workshop.
Yeah, but that's way more specific.
Also, everybody has received 49 bank slots in order to make it an even number on this.
Yeah, nice.
So,
thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm only at 970, and I could purchase another 350 if I wanted.
See, I need more, because I need to buy lots and lots of animals, Shane.
I'm using 871 out of 970.
I'm at 915 out of 970.
This is a good week. I don't know.
I was full except for, I guess I got 48 new ones.
I don't know why Jagex isn't running around promoting this more. I mean, RuneFest is coming, obviously, but this is the kind of update you should be running around and promoting.
Jagex is the Obama of game studios. Like, we did something good. Okay, everyone be quiet. Shh. We did something bad. Hey, guys, we did something. We messed up. Sorry.
And I guess in this version, r/RuneScape is InfoWars, right?
Oh, my God. That actually is a pretty apt comparison. That is pretty damn awesome.
I just pointed out like I see it.
Bless.
Also, from the patch notes with this, presets will now attempt to do the following with withdrawing. Withdraw a lower dose of a vial if you're out of a specific dose that is requested in your preset. Presets with scrimshaws will now withdraw the used version if that's saved. Otherwise, it'll look for a new variant. Presets with silver jewelry will always withdraw the compacted version. And presets with urns will always try and find any urns that have been started. Otherwise, it'll look for empty versions.
Oh, really? You used to have to do that yourself. Like,
yeah.
You had two. You know what I mean? Like, you had a used one and one and an unused stack. Like,
dude, my fishing preset is going to be so good
shit.
Now.
I wish I had this when I was runecrafting. I want to go runecrafting almost again after this.
You're only 99, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean when you're not done?
Well, I got to get 120 wood. I got to get 120 wood cutting first.
Well, what's wood?
Then 120 agility. Then 120 fire making. I'm going in the order that I got my original 99s, by the way.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Well, I've already broken that, for me at least.
Yeah, actually, I think I broke that as well, because I got wood cutting after farming, but, I mean, herblore was more important to do.
But you got farming in your heart first.
Yes.
It was in your heart.
And I got it again a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
All right, continuing on with this, quick save and load presets can now be found by right-clicking a number. Oh, we missed that. So if you have your preset and you just want to save the preset to what you're currently wearing or what you currently have loaded up, just right-click that number and choose save.
What? Shut up.
Yeah.
That's so good.
What? I've been in my bank like for hours this week. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Damn.
I haven't really used presets too much yet. I've just been organizing the bank window.
Yeah, well, me too, but...
I don't think I've actually done anything in the game this week.
I basically just left my bank yesterday.
Oh, that is so good. And I just did that to update my farming preset because I never had the juju potion in it because of the potion issue that we were just talking about.
Yeah, next time it's like you can't do this preset or there's an item and like it gives you that text, that warning. Now we can just like right click and be like, shut, Mitch, we got it.
I'm glad it's just really clear that they thought of.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so I saved a one dose in there, and now it withdraws a three dose. Now if I have another sip of that one, yeah, I'm wasting juju farming potions, but that's okay.
He's got money like that.
They're easy to make. Then if I withdraw that again, it withdrew a three dose. See, I feel like in that case, it should definitely withdraw the two dose instead of the three dose. But, you know, that's my only complaint about this, and I highlighted it 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this in beta. That is my only complaint with this.
Maybe we get a patch at some point for that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's big. Augmentation presets now know which augmented weapon or armor to take, and they say you'll need to resave your presets for this to work. So
that's big.
That is big.
Like, that's big.
That is big, especially for PVM types.
Oh yeah, because they will have like those highest tier weapons, but they'll have different perks on it for different.
Yeah, I was actually talking to David this week, and he said prior to this update. You want to know what he did?
What was that?
He bought and used dyes on his various weapons to tell them apart and fit them into presets.
Oh.
To think that that's how they had to do it. But then to think that they had the money to do that. Like that.
I mean, if you got the GP to throw...
That's nuts. Well, I mean, I guess I won't look at them as just completely. Well, I don't know. I don't want to go that far yet.
I really miss being really deep in the PVM meta. I used to be with it like probably 8 years ago, but it's so complicated nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a whole different ball game.
It really is, especially if you want to go to do things like Solak and whatnot. So
I think the first thing you have to do is slam all of your graphics down to like zero to where you're dealing with shapes. That seems to be how they're getting away.
Right. And you know, I could never do that because the game looks too good for that.
I know, but I mean, I've actually known a few people now that I didn't realize it at first, and then now I do. I'm like, okay. I get it. I got you.
They added Anachronia and Big Game Hunter as well as Loot to the various preset and tab name lists. And that's something else that we glossed over just now, is that when you're looking at your tab names, you can right-click and customize a tab, and you can give it a specific name. And, you know, I haven't done that. I should give this one the name Farming, but I haven't done that yet.
You didn't do that after you were making the tabs?
No, my tabs already existed.
Well, my tabs existed too, but I added a bunch of them. Yeah. Every time I hit the plus button, I did a name and an icon.
Oh, no, sorry.
I can't remember the exact tab. But is there a reason they just have a drop-down of a whole bunch of names instead of letting you just type something?
I would say probably space concerns.
Yeah. Because when you have tabs that combine multiple things, it gets kind of hard to name something.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
same thing with presets.
If they let RuneScape players name their own tabs, that'd be great. Because it'd just be like PVM shit.
Yeah, right. That's what I want to name it.
Shit.
Some loot stuff.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and in my, as I tab back and forth to my screen here, Tycho is jumping up and down in the background doing things.
Because of course he is.
Presets 1 to 10 now have F1 to F10 to use as an alternate keybind, and the logic behind this is that the bank is a modal window, which of course means that it draws all your focus, so it can override F1 to F10 on that. Okay. Preset list has new icons. The preset list has new right-click options to delete or quick-load the preset. See, I didn't know that either. You can right-click on those. And my question is still with this. How are you going to convey this to the mobile people that you can right-click on these things? Or, I guess, long press.
I was going to say, they ain't right-clicking shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah. That's my question. But
I don't know. But we didn't know it either. So, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know it unless you read the patch notes.
There's like. This update had some layers, had some depth.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, yeah.
I'm just looking here, seeing if there's anything else that we missed. Your money pouch is now shown in the bank interface.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. That's nice.
Yeah, where is that?
I don't know.
Or I guess it just says coin pouch.
I'd assume it'd be on like the inventory section.
Yeah, it just says coin pouch.
I'm not near my bank.
And you can dump that back in. I still don't use the coin pouch. I just still keep a stack of GP around. We talked about the quick loading of all the items, numerous interface changes made to mobile, Bank of Gielinor instead of the Bank of RuneScape, which makes sense.
Yes.
Ooh, this is a dangerous one. If you right-click the placeholders icon, there is a delete all placeholders.
Oh, shit. That might be a little.
Does it have a confirmation?
I'm not going to click it.
Yeah, let's hope.
I'm not going to click
it. Yeah, I'm not going to. None of us are going to be the ones to find out.
But you said you didn't have any placeholders, Shane. How could you even find out?
Okay. All right.
You have to make one first or you won't know.
Okay.
It means you'd be the best candidate for trying this.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's do it. I put everything back. Pig. So let's make a placeholder for my bubble blower.
Because you obviously need a placeholder for your bubble blower.
No, there's exactly no confirmation.
Oh, we need a confirmation for that. That's bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. That can get a little dicey.
Maybe there's confirmation if it's like multiple item.
I'm not trying that.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not trying that. Who knows? Let's just assume there's nothing.
But, you know, when you select to wield an item, it will create a placeholder regardless of your toggled option. And, of course, presets always leave placeholders on that front. We already talked about the withdrawing. You can press Alt 1, 2, 5, 10, and 4 for all. And then Alt plus 5 is your X withdraw, and Alt plus 6 moves you to the input box if you want to change how you're going to withdraw items for anybody who wants to navigate with the keyboard. And, you know, it's really good because if you mouse over all these things, it does show what the keybinds are. So,
very cool.
And I think that's probably about it that we have for the bank rework. Sirion did send me some pictures of how it looks on mobile, and we should have a look on that because, you know, as we progress forward to RuneFest, I am anticipating that we'll have news at RuneFest of an open Android beta. I still don't think we're going to get an iOS beta at RuneFest to the both of you, but I think that's just where we're at right now.
Sad days.
Sad.
Yeah.
We're all still suffering over here.
Baby.
Let's see. Boy, Sirion and I had lots of text messages this week on Discord.
Oh.
All right. So, this is what the front bank interface looks like on mobile currently. Obviously, people can't see this on the audio version, but what you're seeing is the stylized top bar that says Bank of Gielinor search. Your item list and filters are on the top instead of the bottom. The transfer and presets swap tab is on the top right. Then right down below that, you have your backpack, worn items, and beast of burden selector. And for those wondering why the presets window is exactly as it is on desktop is because it's exactly the same way on mobile. And, you know, mobile being a fixed size, that's why it floats to the middle, I guess, if you have a very large screen on that front. So what I'm seeing so far is that everything looks, in particular, how you would expect it to look. It's a follow-up from desktop. It's pretty much the same, just some of the positions are changed from bottom to top, which I guess makes sense because if you're going to have a keyboard pop up on your screen, you're going to want to have the fields for that to activate that on the top because the keyboard will, of course, appear on the bottom of your screen. So it looks fairly good, and I'm sure people who are playing on mobile can talk about that, but some of the item shadows and whatnot, I'm assuming this is just the way mobile is rendering, look downright hideous, but that's a topic for another day when it comes to mobile.
Can't win them all.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of not being able to win them all, we did also talk about that this week, how, you know, when you enable a filter, so for example, you enable your, let's just say you enable your cleanup filter. The search button changes to a clear filter button, right? But instead, when you have a search query up, so if you search for seeds, the cancel search button goes to where the filter button is. So, you know, this is a minor niggle of this bank update. It's effectively some minor issues with, I guess we could just say, the easiest way of putting it is that there's no concrete design formula going forward on this, which kind of has cancel buttons in different places where if you were searching, you would expect a cancel button to appear in a specific slot. And of course, the same thing can also be said on the presets tab as well, because, you know, there's the back to bank button, but when you're viewing the equipment tab as well, the worn equipment stance, the close button is down below. So the interface is not consistent in some places, but I don't think regular players are going to notice that all that much. But the problem that this generates is not for today, but a number of years down the line, is that if they want to add something to this interface, it becomes harder to do that because there was no consistent design language for this, ensuring things would be in logical spots as the bank progressed moving forward. So it's a minor issue, but it has the potential to become a bigger issue as the bank and this interface evolves as years go by. So that's the way. That is, you see, trying to be balanced here, and that's the only real thing I have to complain about, aside from the way potions are loaded from presets.
There's some inconsistencies in a lot of the icons. Like the inventory icon, they're different in the preset menu as they are in the actual bank window. There's a couple nitpicky things like that, too.
I just want to know what in the hell a niggle is, Shane.
A niggle is a small issue that needs to be resolved.
I have never heard that word before.
Really?
No. I've been distracted ever since you said it. I'm like, what is a niggle? Like, what? The hell is that?
Huh. Apparently, I don't know. I've heard it used in that way, but apparently, according to Urban Dictionary, it's your way to weasel your way into something, especially while playing classic multiplayer video games.
Oh, well then, and, I don't think we're going to like where that root came from.
But apparently for British slang, it means to nag on something or nag on someone. So that's
Well, you could have picked it up from anywhere then.
So that's the term I'm using it for.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently I use lots of words like that can be traced back to decades ago. All right. Anything else on the bank rework? And yes, I'm calling it the bank rework because I don't think bank placeholders and improvements does it justice. Yeah. It is the bank rework despite it being called differently internally.
Well, bank holder or bank placeholders and update, and it improve. Really rolls it's, off
yeah,
the tongue.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue. And you know, that's like we were going back to your saying earlier about the Obama administration. They weren't good at naming things either on that.
No.
Front. And, you know, Jagex is pulling the same thing here, too. So. All right. One special day.
One special day. That's
more like one. More like one special week.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so one special day, you could get the outfit free from Solomon's.
The cape and this was balloon. For,
yeah, it was for Special Effect, who we all know and love. They work. Jagex works with them usually on Game Blast, and they raise money for people with disabilities to be able to play video games. Awesome. Yeah,
we've talked about
awesome
them many
charity.
Times before, many yeah. double XP weekends in the past.
Yeah, so for what, one day they got some of the, was it?
They no, get the all entire of week. Revenue? They got it for the entire week.
Oh, the entire week. Okay.
Yeah.
It was called One Special Day, but it was the entire yeah. week. Okay.
So from September 30th through the 4th, everything bought in Solomon's General Store is donated to Special Effect.
Oh, which is before you all are going to hear about this. So.
Yeah.
I hope you bought something.
And we heard about it in the news post. We heard about it in the live stream 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. And we heard about it in the month ahead. And aside from that.
Yeah, it was a hard week to do that. I mean, somehow they found the one week out of the last 11 that had an update. So, damn.
I wish for this week that there was a huge selection of new cosmetics, or at least a new cosmetic set that was coming
out.
That
would have been...
Like, say, yeah. like a $20 cosmetic set that you could buy parts of for less.
That would have been such a great way to promote this.
I know.
Yeah, that would have been, that would have been great. At the very least, I don't know why I'm telling people this because I can't even do anything now, but I was going to say, like, the dragon, you can never have too many keepsake keys, ever. Like,
yeah. Oh my gosh, agree.
Yeah, the more you hit, the better. You just got to have them.
They are great.
Yes.
See, and this is the thing. I feel like this should have been promoted a lot more, and it should have probably went through RuneFest weekend because it only goes until midnight on the 4th.
Yeah, I really wish it would have went through RuneFest weekend. I mean, they could have like just given it a little mention once in a while on stage. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been...
Well, apparently tomorrow night at the Golden Gnomes, or tonight at the Golden Gnomes, if you guys are listening on Friday, they are going to talk about how much that they raised through this.
Well, that's great, but could you imagine if people could actually leave and then... They'd be all inspired and feeling fuzzy and maybe had a few drinks, and now they're going to go buy something and actually
Ooh, Golden Gnome help. Silent Auction. What if they did Ooh. That Golden Gnome Silent Auction for cool. Special Effect?
Yeah, that'd be cool. And then we could antagonize all of the big YouTubers and streamers and be like, you think you got fat stacks, but do you really have fat stacks? Like, how much are you really willing to give to charity and put down?
Or is it all like, about the GP instead?
Put us in charge. Put us in charge of your charity.
Put the screws to their heads and see who is really willing to bend over and go for it and give to this charity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's easy when somebody has, you know, a full cash stack and they can just donate that to the well of goodwill. And I think that's probably why they stopped doing that, because it was such a low return rate on that, where you should get more for everybody who buys a bond for $5 or buys rune coins through bonds and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this could have definitely received a lot more attention than it did. Special Effect is a great charity, and you know, just what they do for the community, what you've, the research you've done on them and what you've looked into with all of that, and you know, they deserve bigger. I mean,
and their research and development, the technical side of that company, man, they have developed just incredible things that benefit just society in ways that you wouldn't imagine.
They helped Microsoft on the Xbox One accessible controller.
Right, and they're one of the leading developers on eye movement cursors stuff. Like, that's not small.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know that I got to start calling this thing the right thing, but you know that Microsoft accessible controller not only works on the Xbox, but it works on the PC as well. The Xbox adaptive controller, because it's just an Xbox controller at the core, and that works on any Windows-based computer out there.
And with that,
sorry, Zach, you broke up there. Say again.
Oh, my bad. You could probably also honestly get that working with just about any console too,
as long as it's got a USB input.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, people really underestimate the power of this controller and what Special Effect did with it, because it is entirely customizable. You can have, you know, any peripheral for the analog sticks or for the ABXY buttons or for the triggers, and it will just work with the Xbox and Windows. You can plug anything you want back into it that is a acceptable accessory on that. And you know, Special Effect is listed as one of the four charities that was helped in developing this controller. So Special Effect is not, you know, one flash in the pan, and you know, because of that, I wish we here at the podcast had the opportunity to do more with this. And I think it would have been really neat to see, you know, the biggest RuneScape celebration of the entire year, RuneFest, based on Special Effect.
It would have been, it would have been awesome.
So,
yeah.
Well, you hear that, Sonny? Pick up your game.
Nonetheless, I look forward to seeing at the Golden Gnomes how much the community was able to raise on this. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, for the most part, we are a pretty charitable community. And so that, and I'm always impressed by that. And, I can't wait to see how well it's done either.
I forget. Was there a little banner when you logged in this week that showed the Special Effect one special day banner encouraging you to go get it?
Yes, there was, but we're so used to the buy 100 key things that I don't know how many people paid any attention before they hit that X.
I honestly think I just kind of mashed through all that stuff that pops up, because it's just so much treasure hunting.
It's usually only treasure hunter, so it's like no one pays attention anymore.
Save so-and-so percent if you buy 500 keys. I don't want 500 keys.
Like, put that shit on the lobby screen. Don't hit me with it when I log in. Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, fingers crossed that it's a good number, and you know, any number with charity is indeed good, so definitely be watching for that. And we're going to move on to tech news right now, but before we do that, I'll just take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters for this episode. You know, it's the start of the month, so we thank more than we normally do. So this month, or this rather this week, I'd like to give special thanks to Arvids L, Brock H, Cass, Darren L, Diana, Jason S, Kyle, Logan H, Rippeth, Sam W, The Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zez. Thank you, all of you, for your wonderful support of RSBNB Update. It truly does mean the world to us and allows us to do things that we weren't doing before. And one of those is the Monthly Bit, our monthly special show in which we talk about one hot-button issue related to RuneScape. And this month, actually just after we record this show, we're going to be talking about the RuneScape endgame. Does it exist? What does it look like? And what could it look like in the future, or an alternate version of RuneScape? And we definitely do have some heavy hitters on it for that front. So that's one that everybody will want to pay attention to. And you gain access to that monthly bit in the entire back catalog for as little as $1 a month. You also get early access to our show notes, the ability to join in the roundtable discussions, and also you get a vote in what topic we're going to cover for the monthly bit. For $3 a month, you'll also receive a special VIP rank on Discord, a special mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, should you want to give the ultimate gift, you'll receive a shout-out every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show. And we also do have Inside RSBNB Update on the way, our monthly bit, and the RSBNB Update Roundtable will be in mid-October. And should we reach that mythical $99 a month tier, well then, that will be movie night in the RSBNB Discord, where we'll watch some Star Trek. Zan, do you like Star Trek?
I do not. I don't even like Star Wars, so.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, my heart.
I'm more of a fantasy guy. And to be honest, outside gaming, I'm not really into many series or things of that nature.
All right.
Yeah. Fair enough. We were fine when you said, Star Wars, but Star Wars, man. God.
Yeah, I hate to disappoint both of you.
Game of Thrones? All right. Don't tell me you're not into Game of Thrones, too.
I'm not yet, but it's on the list.
Okay.
It's just one of those things that when I wanted to get into it, it was pretty far in, and I didn't want to start really behind. But yeah.
So we can watch that too, Shane. Ooh, we should film Shane if we ever watch Game of Thrones. For that. We can see how red his face turns during some of the scenes. That'd be great.
I don't know about that.
Shane'd be all embarrassed.
No, I wouldn't be embarrassed about it. I'd just be very, very uncomfortable.
You would. It'd be kind of funny.
Exactly.
All right, if you guys want to find more about that, just visit patreon.com/RSBNB. And it is worth noting that, you know, in addition to this week's show, we will be doing a special post-RuneFest show this Saturday, and that should be available early Sunday for you guys because, you know, we want to get this RuneFest stuff out as it happens. We know a new skill is on the way, amongst other things, and who knows what else is going to be announced there. So,
it'll be a wild event.
It certainly will. I know they're bringing skill chips back this year, which they didn't have last year, which is rather unfortunate because they had Fremenic Trials last year, which was certainly a feat in itself, some of them. But anyways, you guys ready for some tech news?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So starting off, you know, we've been following this whole track on what happens with microtransactions and chance-based loot boxes, you know, whether it be RuneScape or Overwatch or any other EA game out there. And, you know, earlier in the year, Psyonix, the folks who make Rocket League, announced that they were going to be removing randomized crates by the end of 2019. And this week they unveiled their plans to replace them and how existing items will transfer to the new system. So come December, a new system will be introduced called Blueprints. And if you play a match of Rocket League, you'll have a chance to obtain a blueprint, a new type of drop that will replace crates. When you receive a blueprint, it will show you exactly what item you can create from it for a set price. Once they're in your inventory, blueprints will allow you to pay to create the item it offers and receive it immediately, or you can leave it in your inventory and choose to create the item later. Like the crates that preceded them, blueprints can drop with special attributes like painted, certified, and special editions. Now, There's more than just blueprints on the way. In the same update arriving in December, they're going to be introducing a new rotating item shop. Now, pay attention, everyone, to this one. The item shop will offer a wide variety of content, including new items, legacy crate content that you might have missed out on, and the long-awaited debut of items like the titanium-wide Dominus. I don't know what that is. I don't play enough Rocket League for that. Now, they say item shop purchases will be bound to your account and cannot be traded. Items from Blueprints and the item shop will be obtained by credits, our new premium currency for placing keys. You'll use these credits to create items from Blueprints, upgrade to Rocket Pass Premium to buy content and buy content from the item shops. Esports token will be separate from credits and will be the only way to purchase from the esports shop. Now, in terms of people who have items that already exist, your keys will automatically be converted into credits when you log into Rocket League. And before Blueprints go live later this year, the Vindicator crate will come to Rocket League on Thursday, October 3rd. And this is the final crate, and it will feature the new Sentinel Battle Car and Neuro Agitator Goal Explosion. And what they've done is they've also have a preview for this for anybody who wants to purchase it with one of the crates, the last crate that they're offering. They're also offering a trade-in system so that what they want to do with this is when the blueprints go live and they replace the paid crates, they'll also disable the ability to use paid content with the current trade-in system. What this means is that items obtained from blueprints, the item shop, or legacy content from crates cannot be traded in after these changes go live. So this is removing the random chance from it, but still allowing people to have a bit of a random shot, I guess, of getting the blueprint when they complete a game, and then just choosing if they want to spend the money on purchasing it. Whereas what we've heard in terms of Treasure Hunter and from EA and other countries like Belgium and the Netherlands is that the problem is indeed about the random chance, not so much so the people spending on cosmetic items, I think. So I think this goes a long way to solving the issues with microtransactions in Rocket League.
Yeah, I think you're right. If we could only get that across the board, that would be wonderful.
Now, the question I have, of course, is how do you apply something like this to RuneScape?
Great question. get rid of Treasure Hunter.
Yeah. I had just thought of something actually the other day. And
was it get rid of Treasure Hunter and focus on Rune Pass and Solomons?
Yeah.
That's essentially what
maybe,
I feel
maybe
too.
Maybe a different form of the Rune Pass or some tweaks, you know, here and there, but yeah, I mean, that basic idea.
Like, the way I could see this going, if this was applied to RuneScape, because I think this is a fundamentally good model, is that you're playing the game, right? You know, everybody gets daily Treasure Hunter keys when they do their challenges. You get keys if you're a member. You get keys sometimes when you're skilling. What if instead, when you got these keys, those keys were for a specific item, like the blueprint? Say a prismatic lamp or a prismatic fallen star or one of the items, and then you could choose to put some form of money towards it, maybe a rune coin, for example. Centralize everything around rune coins and then have a specific unlock around these tokens and then just add a certain level of rarity to them or randomness. And you know exactly what you're getting when you put money into them.
If you know what you're getting, why do you need the randomness?
Well, no, it would be random depending on what kind of Treasure Hunter or, I guess, let's just call it a blueprint token on RS would drop, because these blueprints in Rocket League do sound like they're going to be random.
You're essentially paying when you actually get the item you want instead of paying to search for the item you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I think you could remove Treasure Hunter altogether.
Same.
I would love to, In my opinion, I think you could get rid of it completely. Like, I don't think we need the lamps in the bonus, but if you want to keep that, because let's face it, no one's gonna. That's what people participate with Treasure Hunter for. There's no reason you couldn't put a rune coin price to the different items and store them in Solomon's. And it's no more chance. You get what you pay for.
Then we're into the area where we're outright selling XP and bonus XP.
Shane, we're outright selling XP and bonus XP.
We're already there.
Hello?
We've been selling XP for years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? How that ends up playing out? Well, that's a discussion we'll be having later about the end game stuff.
Right, and I was just trying to think of a way that you would spin this. And I can't think of a way to spin this without having it look like you're just selling straight up XP.
Shane, they're selling straight up XP.
I know, but if they put in something that you could buy for rune coins that was bonus XP or a lamp.
That's what we have, though. That's
right, but it's a chance of getting that. You could get some other useless item.
Yeah, it's just with this system, you kind of know what you're paying for.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the way forward with this, honestly. And if they want to have some randomness to it, go the blueprint route, but otherwise just put everything in Solomon's general store.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that – do you think that this would situate people if this is what that microtransaction statement looks like next week? I'm not saying it's going to. I'm just saying, would this situate people, or would it make it worse?
Oh, no. People won't be happy with it. They want them gone.
People won't be happy with anything other than removing it, basically, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I still think you're going to get some blowback, no matter what. I think this is a much more defensible position. I think this is a more honest position.
You're talking about the blueprints.
I think this is a legal position.
Yeah.
Putting it in Solomon's, because see, right now, you know, you don't know if someone got a key because they did a daily challenge or if they bought it. You know, you could have gotten that lamp or that prismatic star because you finished a challenge, but you might have bought it. Well, now you would know 100%. Like, nope, that was bought. Bought that. All that bonus XP? Yep, bought that.
So, I have enough oddments to buy 46 treasure hunter keys. That's another way.
Wait for the next major promo.
That's a lot of agility XP. That's a lot of AFK agility XP
do I really want to purchase XP on that?
It depends on what you want, man.
I know. I don't. But
I mean, if you want to finish everything, or if you're wanting to, like, well, I guess you already finished everything. But if you want all 120s, best be dumping that in the one you don't like.
How much? I wonder how much XP 46 treasure hunter keys could get me. Probably not that much, right?
Well, it could have gotten you a hell of a lot more a couple weeks ago. I mean, you missed the boat, Shane.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. That's why I missed the boat. So,
which is hilarious, because half of those boats that were bitching were shoveling keys in the back. Like, get up. I want all of them. Give me the keys.
Wait, who?
Just the people.
I don't know what you mean. What people?
r/RuneScape.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, a lot of people. It's like, are any of our hands clean? Like, we've all used the keys.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to whatever degree you've used it, whatever. You know, if you're a whale or you're a little minnow, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like when
none of us have clean hands.
When we get that statement, or they, you know, inevitably move to a system like the Rocket League blueprint system for random items, and, you know, as much as I hate to say it, I think you're going to be right, is that they will start selling this XP at some point. I feel like this is going to be one of those situations where you have the army regiment moving in and they just bring a flamethrower to the entire battlefield. That's going to be our podcast the following week.
But it's still a better. It's a better way.
Because then you know what you're getting and you have a clear choice. And
look, to do it like that, I think that is fine. What we don't want is to have the smoldering lamps, the Phoenix never go away lamps, the volcano Phoenix never go away lamp. Like that is what we're freaking tired of. We're tired of this stupid shit. Like we were at a point where it was accepted. It wasn't liked, but it was accepted. I think we can reach that point again.
I just wish it wasn't so up in your face anymore. Like,
yeah,
the promotions changed so much, and that's been a trend I've seen with other games too.
Well, premium membership, charge an extra $5 a month, get Rune Metrics, and you don't get Treasure Hunter ads.
Like, it's really interesting to see how a lot of these games have microtransactions.
It feels like an extortion. I feel like you're telling me, Shane, you got a real nice account here, man. It would be a shame if somebody, if it had an accident, you know what I'm saying?
The Cambridge mob is on the way. But let's tie this back to Rocket League. Do you think if we had a blueprint style system for Treasure Hunter items combined with cosmetics and XP lamps on solo ones, do you think that would be enough?
Yeah, I do. I think it is the most central approach you could make. I don't think we're going to ever not have microtransactions.
Yeah, and you're not going to have a way of getting XP in the game with lamps. No, because
I think it's about knowing how to position ourselves and ask for something that we can get. We need to apply our pressure in a smart way.
Right, and I haven't seen that yet. Nobody has applied pressure in a smart way and come up with a decent, workable response. I think the best response that we've seen to this is what we just talked about. Something like blueprints combined with the increased focus on cosmetics and lamps in Solomon's general store.
Well, we might see it now. I mean, we've been ahead of the game a few times. Like, we had the comp cape nailed months ahead.
Yeah.
So. Who knows? We might see it.
And I think the majority would just get behind that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, that would help stop the promotion creep that we're running into now. And I know a lot of the higher level people that aren't in nature just automatically against Treasure Hunter, but it was the constant... this promotion has to be better than the last, better than the last, better than the last. That's where they started losing those guys.
I don't get the promotion creep. That's honestly more of a problem than a lot of people make it out to be. And that exists within other games too. Like, for example, I've been pretty heavily involved in the Call of Duty scene, and microtransactions has been a pretty hot topic with them for the past few years. And with Black Ops 4, it got to the point where their microtransaction system, they removed loot boxes initially, but it's just the degree of how many different options you had for throwing them money and just things thrown in your face and all these little updates and daily and weekly and monthly things. It's just, oh my God, it's more complicated than the game.
I can't see, and I hate going through a tutorial for a Treasure Hunter. Like, that drives me nuts.
It's like some of these games nowadays, you look at it and you look at the microtransaction just front screen, it's like, what am I even looking at?
Yeah. Well, you know, for only another $5, we could take care of things like that for you. No.
All right. I didn't intend for this discussion on Rocket League blueprints to turn into a microtransaction discussion yet again, but I think that's just where the community's at.
What can you do? I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah. All right. Next up is a head scratcher where we have to go deep on this one. So this one might take a little while to explain, but effectively what this comes down to with this headline is that Google feels that the Supreme Court should rule on a risk to innovation as they so see it, in particular with the court case of Oracle versus Google. And, you know, what's happening with this one is going to make some people scratch their heads. Nobody here uses Android, but of course, Android is one of the biggest mobile operating systems out there. And Oracle, which is another huge software company, has filed a copyright claim against the Android operating system, in particular because Android is built with the Java programming languages, and all of the apps on Android are also built with the Java programming language. And Oracle argues is that by using its programming language, its documentation, and all of its libraries and the programming APIs, or application programming interfaces as they're known, is that Google effectively should be paying Oracle a cent for every Android license out there, because Oracle became the folks behind the Java programming language when they acquired Sun Microsystems, and Oracle's not happy that they're not getting anything from one of the biggest mobile operating systems out there when it's going out on pretty much most of the smartphones in the developing world and many of the smartphones in the Western developed countries as well on Android. And I think the question from this becomes is that, you know, should Google at some point decide to drop Java as their main programming language, or should the Supreme Court rule on this? Because if the Supreme Court does rule on this and they rule in the favor of Google, then that means that effectively programming languages, whether it be Java or any other language that you can imagine, maybe C# or Apple Swift, can be used without without needing to pay a license fee to whomever. But on the other hand, some languages out there like Swift don't have that because Apple released that as a what they're calling an open source language so that nobody has to pay to use it at the end of the day. And if for some reason the Supreme Court decided to look at this case and ruled in favor of Oracle, that would mean that Google would need to send a portion of the money that it makes from Android over to Oracle. And at the end of the day, would make it so that there's effectively less innovation created within these software environments, because people would be more leery of using someone else's language, and it might be seen as a stumbling block to create new interesting types of software out there.
And to make them pay 1 cent.
Well, I mean,
if you can't afford that, that would stop all innovation right there. Well, greed would stop all innovation.
Well, it would probably be more than 1 cent. It would probably be a license fee of a few dollars per Android install, which is what Oracle is probably after in this case, you know?
Are they proprietary? Like now?
Well, are you talking about Java?
Or all languages? Like,
well, and see, that's the thing. Nobody really knows, because you can license a language so that you need to pay a license fee to use it, and you can license it so that, you know, you need to agree to that license fee when you turn on the device, or you can make a language entirely open, like Swift is on the Apple side. And Oracle has effectively copyright Java, so they might indeed have a case from this on this perspective, I think. As much as it pains me to say that, I think Oracle might have a case here.
So, okay, so back when RuneScape was on Java, would they then, they would need to be licensing the language from Oracle?
Well, Oracle could definitely put their finger down and say, hey, Jagex, pay us a cut of the license fee since you got the most popular online game out there using Java.
So worst case scenario, or best case scenario, however you want to look at it, we can get rid of that damn Java client if they win.
That's yeah, and you know,
there's silver lining.
You know, I don't think Jagex would be a target on this. I think they're just going after Android because of how big it is, you know?
Yeah.
The Android operating system.
That whole, it seems like in a really gray area.
It really is, and I mean,
yeah.
Wait, no, hold on. Remember, Hello Games had to pay for their procedural, some way that they did their procedural generation. Another company had did it before, and even though they didn't know it
they had to pay for it.
Yeah. And see, we're getting into the gray area here of software patents. It's widely argued that Apple invented multi-touch first, you know, the technology that allows you to, you know, pinch to zoom and have multiple fingers on the screen all interacting at once. Apple brought that out first. Apple could have patented that and prevented any other smartphone manufacturer from effectively building a touchscreen-based operating system. They did patent multi-touch, but they haven't gone after anyone yet for it.
Okay. I need to figure out where I'm supposed to be. I am a bleeding heart liberal that stands up for the working class. Where do I fall on this issue?
You should fall on the side of Google.
Okay. Because, I guess I have to side with the corporate daddy.
Because they want everybody to be able to access this programming language freely, and they don't want to have to pay the license fee for it, arguing that it would stifle innovation if everybody had to, you know, pay a license fee to create Java applications. And, you know, Java does have a paid version. It's Enterprise Edition that enterprises do use to develop code, and they pay Oracle a license fee to do that. And I think that's where the case might come from on this, right? And you see where it gets very gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to point to the Supreme Court to show that the Supreme Court isn't necessarily the most knowledgeable when it comes to this.
It doesn't matter. The Supreme Court will not take a case that is company versus company. They want company versus person.
Like, you don't think they would?
So if they don't have to step in it, they're not going to. I don't see them. No, they've got bigger things that they want to do.
Have they ever taken up a company versus company case?
Well, I mean, yeah, but not lately. Not this court hasn't done anything really on that.
The Oracle versus Google case is currently, or was last seen in March of 2018 at the United States Federal Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which sounds like a pretty high court.
That is a high court. Which district was it?
Washington.
That's where it dies. If the Supreme Court doesn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far as it'll go.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be.
And they ruled in Google's favor?
They did. I think so.
Damn it, I thought that Merrick Garland was a liberal. I think he's on
Google's use of the Google's use of the Java API package was not fair use as a matter of law. The district court's decision was reversed and the case remanded to the district court for damages. Judges Kathleen O'Malley, Sheldon Plager, and Richard Taranto.
Really? No Merrick Garland? Okay.
Nope.
Can you imagine if they actually had to come up with damages? Holy shit. When's the last time you did a Java update and it's like 999 trillion devices are powered by Java?
And that's why this is such an issue for this. And, you know, Google wants the Supreme Court to look at it. And with Google wanting to, that tells me that Google lost.
Yeah, I mean, but we might also run into this too big. It's going to be like a too big to fail thing. Like, they can't possibly rule on Oracle's favor, or Google would be, they're too big. They can't pay it.
Yeah, they would need to.
They got too much clout.
Yeah, they would need to effectively, you know, pull out of using Android or using Java for Android and come up with something else.
So, I was going to say, why don't they just, why haven't they done their own? Wouldn't that
That's what Apple did. That's what Apple did. They did their own programming language. So,
yeah.
All right. Moving on to our next piece of tech news. Microsoft had a hardware event this week announcing new Surface devices, in particular the Surface Laptop 3, which is, you know, a conventional laptop with a touchscreen that has USB-A, USB-C. It hosts Intel's 10th generation Ice Lake processors with AMD graphics. It arrives October 22nd in the U.S., starting at $999 for the 13.5-inch model. And, you know, when you compare this to a MacBook Pro price, this is actually a pretty good deal compared to a MacBook Pro, and I think Microsoft has positioned themselves to be in that position. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. MacBook Pros cost as much as a used car.
The 15-inch model is $1,199. For the Surface Laptop 3.
Yeah.
Also, new Surface Pros were announced. The Surface Pro 7 starts at $749, which is Microsoft's tablet that runs Windows. And then, of course, they have the lower version, Surface Go, which I think starts at $400, I think. So they got things at every price range here. They also have a Surface Pro 10, I want to say, or is it supposed to be Surface Pro X? I'm not sure.
I think it's just X.
Okay. And this one runs with a specific mobile chip inside, and you know, I'm not sure exactly what the difference is between them, but this one starts at $999.
So you can essentially, I think, use a cellular network with both.
Okay, right. It's running It's running a Snapdragon-based processor. So
which, that's, I don't know, I have a Surface Pro 4, and that would be pretty nice to just use that wherever and always have a connection.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that, definitely. And, you know, this would be running Windows ARM because the Snapdragon processors are indeed ARM-based. But, you know, you're looking at $250 more than the regular Surface Pro 7 if you want that wireless connectivity. So that's something to think about. They're also
so not only is it going to cost you an arm, but a leg as well.
Oh my gosh! Just get them out of here.
Yeah. The Surface earbuds aiming to ship this holiday season. They're like, I guess their AirPod competitor shipped for $249 this holiday season.
Like a contacts lens case.
Yeah, it certainly does.
We got Tic Tacs and contact lenses now.
Yeah. They say they have touch controls for Spotify and Office 365 tie-ins. It can automatically caption what you're saying in a PowerPoint presentation or help you check Outlook email. I think the AirPods are more fun.
Same. I love my AirPods. Oh, okay. They're so good.
You ever lost
They're
one?
I've lost a whole set of them.
Jesus. That's expensive.
Yeah, it was kind of my fault, though. But okay. The pair I have now, I literally have a separate little GPS tag on it attached to the case.
Nice, nice.
But the cool thing about it is my Apple Watch, I used to have an Apple Watch, but I dropped it behind my bed onto the bed frame and the screen shattered.
Oh, no.
And if you don't know, Apple doesn't repair them unless you have Apple Care Plus.
Yeah.
So once that was gone, I really missed the functionality of being able to call my phone and figure out where it's at from the watch if I lose it. So with this little GPS tracker I have on, it has a button on it I can press and it makes my phone make a noise.
Nice.
So kind of replacement of that.
Yeah, I think they're bringing out something like that called Apple Tags eventually.
Yeah, yeah. I was very excited to see that too because you know that's going to be integrated really well.
Yep. Surface Neo, Microsoft is getting into the folding computer business, tennis.
Oh boy.
Because that's a booming business.
It's a folding Windows tablet with 2 9-inch screens that combine into a 13-inch full screen.
Why are companies chasing this dragon? No one asked for it. No one wants it.
At least this one doesn't literally fold in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's going to run an Intel Lakefield chip and Windows 10X, which is their own new version of Windows that is more efficient and aimed to be optimized, especially for touch screens. Both the Neo and Windows 10X will launch in fall of 2020. And we're not done with the folding stuff. The Surface Duo. They're making a phone. It's going to run Android. And it's going to be 2 5.6-inch screens that unfold into a total of 8.3-inch screens. And once again, it doesn't fold into
the screen for our phones and or tablets. Like, really?
That's such a strange proportion for a phone. It's really blocky and wide. But I guess the folding.
Yeah, I think I'm still out on the whole folding business, too.
Yeah, it's... I'd like to see where that goes in a couple years.
Yeah, and like, I mean, nowhere. There's a reason Samsung had to, you know, pull back before actually getting their folds out to everyone, so.
Like, is that where we're at in innovation today? Like, someone's sitting around the brainstorming table, and they're like, what if we could fold our tablet in half? Huh?
We're going back to flip phones, guys.
Yeah, what if we could fold it in half? That'd be something.
You know, of these, I think the biggest movers are the Surface Laptop 3 and the new Surface Pros. Because, you know, for people who want a tablet experience that is not Apple, I think the Surface Pro is where you want to be.
That Surface Pro X is nice looking.
Yeah.
That's very nice. And, you know, it's got the higher price tag, but the LTE, that's amazing.
And with it running Windows, it will probably also be able to run RuneScape.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
And we were talking about this. I don't know if this was in pre-show or whatnot, but I forget. And I was saying, you know, Jagex, when they release mobile, they really need to make it so that if you're running a Surface Pro or any kind of Surface PC, you have the ability to use the mobile UI.
Well, you mean you couldn't use a mobile UI? I thought a Surface Pro was a tablet.
Yeah, but it runs Windows.
Yeah, it runs.
It presents as a Windows device, but it's not a tablet. Like, it doesn't present as a mobile device, so it wouldn't get RuneScape Mobile. You're running the standard desktop mobile that you're running.
But it's touchscreen?
But it's touchscreen based.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, you know, Microsoft needs to provide an option for any computer that identifies itself as a Surface Pro, that it should be presented with an option to run the mobile UI.
So does it run RuneScape right now?
Yeah.
How do you click?
You just touch the screen. I do it on my Surface all the time. Yeah.
Yeah?
It's pretty great.
You didn't know that?
Okay. Well, no, Shane. I don't have a tablet.
It's desktop RuneScape that you can play with a touchscreen, essentially.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh. Right. And that's why I said is that, you know, when the mobile eventually ships, they need to give this as an option for Surface users. Because it would just provide a much nicer experience than using the desktop UI, I think.
Well, no, yeah, it definitely would. There's a couple things that aren't quite seamless between using the desktop version with a touchscreen. Most gestures work, like pinching, zooms, and everything, but there's a couple little random things that are strange. Right-clicking is a pain.
Are you interested in a Surface Pro now, Tanis, now that you know this?
I'm just glad that there's options so that if there are any problems with the voiceover stuff and an Apple device and RuneScape Mobile working, then I know at least I have a fallback. So, yes, that's cool.
What reason would they have to not just let you use the mobile interface on just every desktop RS client?
Well, right now it's not ready, but I mean,
are you aware of the proportion of retirees that play this game? They would accidentally toggle that thing on and never be able to play RuneScape again. It'd look like their old VCR is just sitting there flashing 12.
Because I guess if you really wanted to, couldn't you just emulate a phone?
Can you emulate a phone?
Yeah.
Cool. You could. I'm just learning all kinds of stuff today.
You can emulate Android quite well. Speaking of laptops running RuneScape, Chromebooks run Android apps, and, you know, that's going to be another RuneScape playable device eventually is the Chromebooks, too.
See, I need to find something that's going to be cheap, though, because, let's face it, the only reason I need a tablet is to play mobile RuneScape. Well, so,
that's a Chromebook. How much do I need? That's a Chromebook, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's it for tech news. We're going to talk about our achievements in just a moment, but I'll just sum up our Skill of the Month competitions that we had for the month of September. You know, we had two of them this month. We had woodcutting and mining, the woodcutting competition we talked about last week, but I'll just reiterate. Jamandy 52 with 4.8, Parnassius with 2 million XP, and Ripith with 638K. Then our mining competition saw Unknown Raptoid with 7.4, Ripith with 2.1, and Tear God with 1.3 million. Our first mining competition since the rework. So nice to see those. That's some really, really high rates there, you know.
That's some, I mean, decent, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into these achievements of the week.
All right, well, first we have Z with 120 farming on October 2nd. Hey, well, you know, 120 nice farming there, Shane. Yeah. And then we have Ali Turbo with 99 thieving on October 1st. And Lord Gimli, love it, with 99 Constitution on September 30th.
And also Lord Gimli with 99 Slayer on September 30th. And then this name that I'm going to try to pronounce. It's XG when YVARX with 99 mining on the 30th. XG when YVARX, that's not too bad, with 99 fletching also on September 27th. And then finally, Wolfotopia with 99 constitution on September 27th as well. Good job.
And on the 26th, we had Sid Rains with 99 fishing and 99 invention, and Gwen Yvar with 99 slayer.
Well, I guess that's another way of doing it. Just drop the XG and X at the end. And I mean, I guess people always used to do that with their RS names.
Yeah, right? That's how I always read the X's.
Okay. Makes sense. All right, time for our pick of the week, where, you know, somebody presents something that they're very pleased with, something they want to show off, and, you know, we normally try and hand this off to the guests. So, Zen, what do you got for us this week?
So, if anybody knows what I've been doing on the internet recently, I'm a bit Zelda obsessed right now. I speedrun Breath of the Wild, specifically the All Main Quest category, but I'm very involved with the Zelda community. It's my favorite game series. And just recently, Nintendo released a remake of Link's Awakening for the Nintendo Switch. And basically, Link's Awakening, it was a Game Boy game that came out in 1993, and I believe that's the year. And they did a deluxe version of it for the Game Boy Color. And just this nice little game, Link washes up on an island, and his overall goal is to escape the island that he has to do by obtaining all of these instruments to wake the Windfish. And it's a typical 2D Zelda game. Has your dungeons, has your really charming characters. But oh my gosh, the art style of this remake is gorgeous. Like, absolutely gorgeous. I don't think they could have pulled this off any better. It takes kind of the pixel art style of the old games and brings it into this really kind of almost looks like toys, and it's kind of chibi and everything's really cute. But in the original game, there was this dissonance between the cutscenes where Link actually had kind of like a full figure to him. And the actual gameplay where he was a small pixel sprite, like back in the Game Boy games. And lo and behold, with this remake, the intro is like a full 2D animated little cartoon, like an anime almost. And it's very pretty. And the game is the nice little chibi style represented very well. But it's a very unique Zelda game. It's one of the ones that actually ties in a lot of other characters from other Nintendo franchises. So, for example, one of the characters in the first village you go to has chain chomps as pets, and there's Goombas and these 2D side-scrolling levels that play quite like a Mario game. And, you know, I guess this is just getting my point with this. Even if you're not a Zelda fan, if you've got a Nintendo Switch, give this game a try. It's a great chance to get a good look at the Zelda series if you've never given it a shot. And, gosh, this game it's really nostalgic. Even if you've never really played the original.
So it's probably, from the sounds of it, it's a good way to get into Zelda. It's a good way to show off the Nintendo Switch. And if you had the old Game Boy game, it's an excellent throwback as well.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many of my friends who whose favorite Zelda game was Link's Awakening, and when it was revealed that they were doing this as their next little remake, oh my gosh, everyone was so excited for it. But it is a fantastic game. I'm currently about, I'd say, 30% through it. I've been playing it kind of casually when I've had the time recently, which hasn't been much. But it's a fantastic game.
And this is the what you would expect from, you know, taking away from the old-fashioned, you know, 2D art style and, you know, bringing it into the modern world, just as they did with all the old cartoons, you know, how now they're becoming modern animated flicks. And this is actually what this looks like, to be honest.
I want to Switch so bad because this sounds...
Is this going to be the game that sells it?
No, I mean, I wanted it before because, I mean, I wanted to try Breath of the Wild, but especially with this because I mean, you know me, I love all things retro gaming. Yeah. And yeah. So to have a reboot that isn't a cash grab or something, great. That's awesome. I hope this means that there might be hope for the Final Fantasy VII later on someday.
So. Isn't Final Fantasy VII getting a massive remake?
Allegedly. Yes, yeah. They tease us with the what's a video every once
at some point.
At some point.
But yeah, I think with this game, I can't really describe it too well, but they hit the nail on the head nailing the vibe as far as taking an old game and modernizing it while still retaining that charm. And that's easily reflected in a lot of the music. It still has a lot of like kind of 8-bit elements that are modernized in a way. They sound really nice, have a little bit of echo to them. And little details like that really show that they tried to make this a nostalgic experience for people. And it really hits some good notes.
Oh, that's cool. Well, and think about, I mean, how many people probably our age, well, I mean, I'm older, a little bit older, but how many people were in the backseat, you know, on a family vacation with their Game Boy, probably playing Link's Awakening type thing, you know? Now they're old enough to buy a Switch. And yeah, that's cool. That's
this
cool
is exactly
that
the way gaming is supposed to be in this era.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And that's why, I don't know, that's why I've always kind of stuck with Nintendo. They get things right in that regard.
They have, you know, those few key franchises, and they just keep iterating on them. And, you know, whether it's 93 or 2003 or 2019, there's always something for somebody who liked the Nintendo stuff on one of the platforms here and there. So
their games always have this degree of polish to them that I don't think I've seen anywhere else. It's mind-blowing.
And people were saying Nintendo was dead a number of years ago when they were announcing the Switch. And
yeah, that aged well.
But, I mean, they definitely still have it. So excellent pick of the week. I think that is really, really good. Thank you, Sand.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Very happy to share that with you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad. What have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tanis. What have you been doing this week? I mean, we could say we've all been bankstanding this week.
I mean, I wouldn't be lying if I said I was bankstanding because, I mean, you know, I not only was I doing that with the main, but then I had to go in and work with the alt, which had a lot more room. I had more room to work with there, so that was cool. But yeah, I basically just left the bank last night. And back to doing some mining, trying to get as much of this ore as I can. I want to make some Elder Rune Plate Body 4s in preparation for whenever the next double XP comes out.
I wonder what those would sell for on double XP weekend. I think 4s were set. 4s were the one you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just trying to save up everything I can so I can like break some records. Break some records, hurt some feelings. That's what I'm going for.
Excellent. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
As for me, obviously lots of bank standing this week. And, you know, in doing so, I mentioned that I discovered that I was missing the Cruis and Heffin elf symbol pieces, so I'm trying to get those. And, you know, I mean, that's typically the way I play RuneScape, is I get distracted by an update, and then a few months later, I go back to what I was initially doing. So I've been doing some thieving at the Cruis and Heffin areas. And, you know, just a good tip there, you know, if you have completed the Anachronia totem set, you can get a totem to, I think it's had a 25% cooldown reduction to the elf clan cooldown times to make it easier to do.
Oh, I still need to get all my totems.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I got most of the ones that I want, and the ones that
I have,
don't
like
come from
one.
Combat. So.
You're doing prif thieving, Shane?
Yeah.
You need to do some safe cracking.
No, I'm doing it because I need the two symbol pieces.
And also the clue
but
scrolls.
But you can get the resets if you mess up on Heffen, you could reset that with the with one of the items from the safe cracking shop.
That's a good idea. I should get some of those.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. I guess maybe throw some safe cracking into there because I also haven't completed the camo outfit either. So I guess we know what I'm doing for the foreseeable future. And of course, throw back to the time that Tanis taught Sirion and myself, the time the blind man taught Sirion and myself that you click on a safe when it flashes, you get more XP.
Still blows my mind.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that somehow happened.
Oh my gosh, I'm 98 thieving, about to get 99 in the next few days, and I've been doing safe cracking.
And you didn't know that?
No. I just sit there and let my dude.
Once again.
That makes so much sense, though. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Today I learn.
All right, speaking of that, what have you been up to on RS, Zant?
Well, I kind of name-dropped the thieving. I've been doing a little thieving in addition to the bank stuff. I got 98 thieving last double XP weekend just because my main objective was 120 dungeoneering, which I finished up.
Yeah.
But after that, I just decided to go do some thieving to get rolls. It's like, I don't know, 3 hours or something left in the weekend. And that put me right at 98. So just been working on finishing that up a little bit. And also just trying to honestly figure out what I want to work on in this game. Because I've been away for a while. I haven't had any major goals or things to work towards. And I'm just trying to take all the content that I haven't touched yet and really figure out what I want to touch first. And I think that's going to mostly be quests.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some really good ones in the last year or so.
Yeah, I've got a lot to catch up on. I was going to
do
two or three tonight, actually.
Desperate Times. Well, depending on your opinion, but lots of great quests in the last year. The Needle Skips.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've done the Needle Skips. That is a fantastic quest. Oh, my gosh. That was such a fantastic quest.
Amazing times we live in, and you know, I have a word I say for this, and you know, this is RuneScape 3, and that is RuneScape 3 at its best, all of these updates. So
yeah. Well, outside RuneScape, just been doing little artwork. I'm an environment artist and trying to advance a little bit more professionally, so I've actually been literally sitting on my porch scrolling through Pinterest maybe 3 hours a day for the past week, just trying to come up with references and get that right idea. So I'm in the idea creation phase of a project right now, and it's usually the phase that I spend most of my time on.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's
good luck.
Personally, for me as an artist, I find that the most difficult.
I find it very hard to be creative and most things, and you know, that's why I gravitate towards the programming and whatnot, because it's a problem and you just solve it. So
yeah, for me it's the trouble of taking the idea and nailing what I'm actually going to make with it. Like, I can come up with the idea, I just can't iron out what I want to make too easily, so I just gotta do a lot of research and give it time. But I mean, I know I'm not the only artist that's like this. So
are you still streaming, Sam?
Yes, I am. And
where can people find you at?
You can find me over at twitch.tv/Zant, and I mentioned earlier, but I do Breath of the Wild speedruns there, and actually, currently, I'm going for a world record in the All Main Quests category, and I'm 2 minutes away.
Oh, cool. Wow. Well,
so, one of these nights, I'm going to be popping a new world record, hopefully.
Well, that would be cool. That'd be super cool.
That would be absolutely amazing to be in that category, so best of luck to you with that.
Thank you so much.
Twitch.tv/Zant. And, you know, talking about other things you can look into, if you want to subscribe to Update as well as, you know, follow Zant and whatnot, we're on pretty much every podcast listener out there, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, YouTube, anything under the sun, update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. Click on the one that you want and it'll be delivered to you directly. And, you know, you'll want to do that because we're having that special RuneFest episode this weekend where we'll be talking about the RuneScape reveals and the RuneFest experience of 2019 and more. So look forward to that at some point this weekend. But we're going to go take a bit of a break, rehydrate, get something to eat, and then we're off to do another monthly bit tonight. So if you guys want to join us in game, we're at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. And if you want to hear about that monthly bit, that can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB. And, you know, that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. So take care, everyone.
See ya.